Welcome to Polycast, an official podcast of a Poulton Civilization site. Daniel Quick.
Makalua.
Imran Siddiqui.
Kay Madeline.
So since this is going to be the last Polycast Wetter's going to be on for a while, I think he wants to do the introductions to leave his mark. Yep, that sounds good. Go right ahead.
No, I don't.
You should do.
Okay, I'll do it. Welcome to Polycast, an official podcast of Apolloton Civilization site. Welcome to the very first episode of 2008. Happy New Year! Woo!
Woo!
We're a bit short-handed in terms of staff. Maki isn't here. We're also 100% less Imran. But with us is Dan. Dan Q from the forums. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Wouter.
And by popular request, we have someone returning. K-Mad Candy, known as Kelly in real life. Hello, Kelly.
Is there a real life? Hi.
We should let our audience know who's actually the guest co-host.
Surprise!
Yes, Kelly is not a guest in this case. She is a regular host. She will be joining the cast from now on. I can hear all the boys cheering in the background.
I have moved in.
Yep, and that's the good news. And the other good news is that I will be leaving.
No, that's not the good news about you.
The bad news, according to my fan club that consists of exactly one person, is that I will be leaving. But what is good news is that I will be back next week. It's just not with Polycast, because we are launching a new show that will be titled The Modcast. Yes, we stole that title. We'll be renaming the segment that was named that, and that no one here really knew why it was named that. But the modcast will be devoted entirely to modding, and we'll be talking about all the new mod releases, and we'll be trying to interview modders and highlight their mods and all sorts of other mod-related discussions.
And by we, you mean Wouter and Wouter, right?
Yes. I will be there, as will my evil twin brother, Wouter.
There's some guy named Locutus who will be there, and Locutus, and Laucutus, and...
Yes, and Locust, and all those other ways in which my name has been mistranscribed over the years.
There you go.
But we will also have a couple of other experienced modders on there, because the reason we never discuss modding on Polycast is because no one on Polycast plays mods, so that wasn't very helpful. Hence the new show. And the other guys, one of them will be Kenneth Furland, known as Impaler on the forums. He's been on Polycast a couple of times already. Tony Keel, known as Garrett Setsaka on the forums, also a veteran modder. And Elohim, her real name is Oscar Felsi from Argentina. So we'll be adding another continent to our lineup as well. Our first show will be next week, so you'll be able to hear all about how we're going to handle that at that point.
That's right. You'll have a Polycast every week, so to speak.
Yep.
So don't be mad at me for moving in, because he will be still on the air. I don't want to get hate mail. I didn't get him fired.
No. Wetter's moving on up. The rest of us, well, you know.
Yeah, he's getting a promotion.
And I'll still be editing Polycast, and Tony will be editing Modcast. It's also worth noting that due to popular request in the forums, we are reducing the length of episodes.
Which will be quite a challenge with me on here. Dan has got a lot of work ahead of him with editing.
Oh, he's used to that already. I guess since the beginning, it's been sort of our desire to have a weekly show, but it's just not practical to actually make a weekly show of Polycast. Just way too much work, especially for Dan to edit all of it.
Two-parters!
Yeah, that didn't go over too well with certain editors on the show. Of which we have only one.
Because it's way too much work for anybody else to volunteer to help him with. I mean, come on.
So, yeah, we're basically combining two wishes. The one to make the shows shorter and the other to have weekly shows. So hopefully everyone will be happy. And if not, I'm sure there will be plenty of hate mail and hate threats and all that sort of stuff.
That's all right. The ad views are the same.
It'll be more for the mailbag, right?
I believe it was Pimpy McPimp in the comments thread for the Polycast Christmas special that said that we should have you, Kelly, and Gloria, and Cardamandua back. At least sometimes. So.
Yeah, I hope none of them decide it's an overdose. We'll see. Maybe I'll decide it's an overdose. We'll see.
In the news, we reflect on a not-so-serious article that CIF is, quote, wreaking havoc on our children's education, unquote, and examine a serious account of implementing an historical Civilization IV scenario into a university course. Then in Forum Talk, we discuss our favorite CIF IV traits and leaders post Beyond the Sword at the request of a listener and criticize alternative traits suggested by someone just as they asked.
In the mailbag, we talk about feedback we got for our Christmas special.
Here's what's been making news in the CIV community. We have our first article. This individual is writing for Eurogamer. Last December, Dave McCarthy says that Civilization is a quote-unquote highbrow game that is again, quote, wreaking havoc on our children's education, unquote.
The guys over at Eurogamer are generally pretty intelligent, far as gaming review sites go. Pretty sure this is supposed to be ironic.
I just know it was all over my head.
It's an interesting article, I suppose. The chief criticisms against Civ, which it goes into specifically, quite aside from the obvious ridiculousness of primitive warriors taking out tanks and gunships with little more than spears, the most idiotic thing about the game is the way it endorses a Whiggish view of history, in which progress is inevitable and any sort of national difference in technology or culture is suppressed.
But that's just ridiculous, because warriors and spearmen are completely different units. So the whole thing is just totally tossed out right there. I can't judge because my own history education was worthless, so it's all over my head.
Yeah, I think the core of the problem lies actually right there. The fact that our history education is basically going to shit, more of a problem with the schools than with what CIF is or isn't doing.
I did understand the musical references at the end. I did like that you mentioned Julian Cope. I'm a Julian Cope fan, you know, Fleetwood Mac and Morrissey, you know, that part I can relate to, but all the historical stuff, I'm like, no, whatever you're talking about, I don't know. But anybody who's, you know, relying on computer games to teach their children anything without sitting there playing with their children, I'm sorry. Easy for me to say because I have no children, but...
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's as with movies, you don't expect to get any real history content from that. That's just, you know, not what it's for. To quote something that Sean Johnson has had in his Sick for years, Sid was so brutal in his simplification of history that I sometimes wince at the game's inaccuracies, yet the result of Sid's design parsimony was one of the greatest computer games of all times. A lesser designer would have succumbed to the temptation to pile it on. That's a quote by Chris Crawford, a sort of a veteran in the game industry. And I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, there's not one aspect of Civilization that, when you think about it, is even remotely historically accurate. But the end result is a great game, which sort of creates a suspense of disbelief that you're replaying history. And I think that's what gaming is all about, or at least history gaming. You're creating sort of a suspense of disbelief, as with television and movies and whatever. It's not supposed to teach you anything.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun because it's a game.
Exactly. And if it does anything in terms of education, I can only speak for myself, but it is entirely thanks to Civilization that I sort of got interested in history and I started studying it. I didn't really learn much from Civ itself, but it did inspire me to start reading some actual books and other stuff like that.
Well, I've learned some things from the Civilopedia, and some of the leaders I had never heard of, so then I went and looked on, you know, Wikipedia, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's indeed some of the leader names, some great people named, if you look them up in the Civilopedia,
yeah.
Although that's not always...
When you're starting from nothing, it's pretty easy to learn
Exactly.
<something.
laughs> Those sort of things can be fun, but Yeah, history is often a lot more about the processes and the bigger things, bigger things behind the scenes, and not just dates and leader names. And there's nothing in Civ that will teach you any of that, I believe. But still, yeah, like I said, I mean, if you read the Civlopedia, you already know a lot more than if you didn't read it, so.
Civ is about history, but it's not on history, just like science fiction is about science, but it's not on science. There are artistic licenses taken, and if Civ was really going to be historically accurate, outside of maybe some specific mods, which could be useful in the classroom, as we've talked about before, it wouldn't be very fun, so then people wouldn't buy it, and then we wouldn't be having this discussion because it would have never existed past the first one.
Right. Besides, that would more go on Modcast than Polycast.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Don't be overlapping the shows there, Dan.
I'm alluding to Modcast. I'm helping prop up the sibling show. Be supportive. What is your problem?
It's a game. It's not a history test. I just want to have fun. Do you think the other one was serious?
Yes.
That other link about the guy whose name started with a V?
Was it Vespasian?
Vespasian?
Yeah, no, that's a serious article.
I never heard of that guy, so I have no idea. He's all acting like it's totally just the sense of disbelief, and I can you even believe it's happened? I'm like, well, yeah, sure, because I wouldn't know that it was wrong. I mean, if that guy met me, he would think I'm a total idiot.
Yeah, pretty shocking to me, but I did study Latin for 6 years, so I should know him. But
yeah.
And I guess the average gal or girl or guy on the street probably wouldn't have heard of Vespasian.
I guess the most interesting part of the article to me, which this is by American archaeologist and professor Dr. Sean Graham, where he gave his students the option of either writing an essay or playing Civ, and they chose writing an essay for their marks.
Yeah. Clearly no one from Apollon or CFC in that class.
Yeah, they couldn't just play the game. They would have to keep a game diary while they
played. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So they had to write even if they played, but...
Still, and if I was given the choice, I certainly wouldn't have gone for writing an essay.
Yeah.
Because when you're in school, you have to write 30 of those a week anyway.
Right. Do something different.
Yep. This wasn't just about playing Civ in general, it was about playing a specific scenario which this Sean Graham designed himself to sort of represent the situation in the Roman Empire in the year of four emperors, which was 69 AD to be precise, and the winner of that civil war in that year was Vespasian, one of the more famous of the Roman emperors. Apparently not to everyone, but... Vespasian won, and a lot of his students were apparently, well, of course he won, because he became the emperor later on, which makes me wonder at what kind of students are in that class, but I guess that's just me. He wanted to make a point that that's not the only reason that he won. There were all sorts of factors at play that led to Vespasian winning that civil war, and you know, he modeled that in a scenario and wanted his students to play that, but I guess that wasn't very popular. I do think this is sort of an interesting point, because in general, I have said many times in the past, I'm not a fan of Civ being used in classes, because I don't think you can learn all that much history from it. But yeah, this is sort of a very specific point that he wanted to teach his student, and that history isn't inevitable, that the outcome isn't necessarily the way it is, just because it happened to be what happened. And if that's sort of the lesson you want to teach your students, then a Civ scenario would be a good way to do it.
You can download it from Planet Civilization. In terms of students choosing to write an essay as opposed to playing the scenario, he said, I realized that my mistake was not so much with the scenario or in what I was trying to achieve with it. Rather, the mistake was in not making absolutely clear to my students how they'd get marks for it or what they'd have to do to get good marks.
I think this is definitely a very interesting scenario. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I will definitely download it and try it in one of these coming weeks. And hopefully we'll have a talk about it on the Modcast.
But on which show?
Yeah.
Got news? Email news at apolton.net or send a private message to Dan Q, Locutus, Grandpa Troll, or one of the other news editors.
This is Forum Talk, where we investigate hot civ issues in the forums.
So now in renamed modcast segment Forum Talk, post Beyond the Sword favorite leader and favorite leader traits. In one of our many responses to the 2007 Christmas special, maybe many is not a strong enough word, but anyway, Bjornsson over at CFC comments that he would like us to see us rate our favorite leaders in Civ 4, you know, 1 to 54, or whatever the number is. These are supposed to be shorter shows.
And, yeah.
I'm not exactly sure how controllable that would be.
Even 1 minute would go too long.
So for time's sake, I went ahead and I rated my favorite traits 11 to 1, and then gave my top 5 favorite and not-so-favorite leaders. But of course, when we talk about favorite anything, it all depends on our playing style. It's not better or worse. I'm a builder, so warmongers out there will probably hate me. That's okay.
Now, I always wondered when I was listening if you told the other hosts what you were going to say ahead of time on these lists. And now I know you don't.
No.
We just hear it during the show, and
That's
then
right.
we get to tell you what we think of your silliness or your brilliance. So, in case anybody else wondered.
Most of the time, the other hosts don't even know the topics in advance.
Well, we all have access to them usually, except for Imran doesn't read them. But anyway.
Yeah, oh, not just Imran.
So, if anybody else wondered, these lists are new to us, too. So, go ahead, Dan, share with us your brilliance or... Yeah. Silliness.
I guess before we do that, I'll give my view on this because it's very short.
Okay.
For me, the favorite one is the one which I haven't played for the longest amount of time. It's that easy. I just like playing with variety and I always play with random leaders. And right now, it's been ages since I've had any kind of French leader, so I'd love to play with Napoleon again. But of course, the minute I have like Napoleon twice in a row, I'll hate him until... You know, now the 50 games have passed, so it's very easy for me that way. So I guess it's time for Dan's top 11 and top 5.
Unless you would like to go first, Kelly.
Well, no, I was just going to listen to your list and criticize it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we like to do around here.
Or, you know, applaud it if you happen to get something right.
You're fitting in very well already. This is
I've noticed people do that before, so, you know. I figured I'd do that too. I just didn't think I'd be the only one doing it. So drum roll, please.
Okay. And so remember, keeping in mind, I'm a builder. Number 11, going from worst, quotation marks, to best, spiritual. There's a surprise that I would probably say that. We've always ratted on poor spiritual.
Aww. I know, and you're so wrong. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
That's my number one favorite, but go ahead.
I'm siding with Kelly here.
Well, there was a surprise you wanted to stay in your fan club. Number 10.
Well, that too.
Number 10. Imperialistic.
But if you're a builder, you like the cheap settlers.
Not Infinite City sprawling anymore, so.
Yeah, I only find them useful for a certain while.
Yeah, that's true.
Number 9, industrious. I know there's the wonder production increased 50%, but...
Yeah, I agree. That's a pretty... Well, I don't want to say completely useless trait, but definitely one of my least favorite ones.
Yep.
Number 8, aggressive, because again, I'm a builder.
Yeah.
Number 7, philosophical.
Good. Sorry. Just, you know...
Again, siding with Kelly here.
Again, same point as before. Number 6, organized. Number 5, charismatic. So now we're into the better, quote-unquote better. Number 4, protective, because I need protection, because I'm a builder.
And because you're you.
Yeah.
You need all the protection you can get.
Number 3, expansive. Number 2, financial. And number 1, creative.
Okay, that works, I guess. I mean, I'd put financial at number 1 for sure. A little +2 is useful in the early game when you're expanding, but beyond that, a +2 culture. Beyond that, not that great. And all the extra gold that comes in, a commerce rather, because of financial, it's really, really helpful. It's definitely the most powerful trait in the game, whether you're a builder or warmonger or whatever.
See, my answer is specific to me and my playstyle. It doesn't apply to everybody. But since you answered because you're a builder, then I'm assuming it that's okay?
Yeah, of course.
Spiritual lets me be a builder. You know how you said protective lets you be a builder?
Mm-hmm.
For me, protective doesn't help, but spiritual does because it lets me keep people off my back. I can change civics to get them to like me more, to go ask them for favors. I can go their religion if I want to. I can swap around things to not get anarchy. You know, I could just do so much with it to keep them on my good side or to make different people enemies to go have them fight each other so that they're not looking at me as the little guy on the totem pole. It just protects me. And if I do want to go to war, then I can go build up troops with the theocracy bonus or whatever. And if I want great people, I can go to pacifism for a little while. And I do like philosophical because if I want to build, then maybe I want to build great people to help me build up nice big cities with lots of super settled specialists and stuff. I look at how to let myself be a builder and stay out of wars differently than you do, I guess, is the thing. Diplomacy is the only thing in this game I'm good at, basically.
Yeah, I don't use the spiritual trait to keep others off my back, but it's definitely very useful to be able to switch civics whenever you want. I mean, exactly. If you're at war, you can immediately switch to war civics. If you're in need of a more great people, then you temporarily go to pacifism. You can switch at will, and there's no cost associated with it, and that's great. Yeah, the philosophical makes a big, big difference if you're out to get a lot of great people. It makes, especially if you combine it with a couple of wonders, and especially if you choose the right wonders, the ones that, Parthenon gives you also plus 50% for great people, and then things can go really fast as far as that goes.
And it lets you ignore tanks, as I was made fun of on a very old episode. I guess.
Yeah, even though we're both builders, both Kelly and I are builders, we're not the same type of builder.
Yeah, we had different styles, which is cool. I love how you can do the same thing in different ways. You can do totally different things in this game. It's what gives it a long life.
Yep.
Either way, it's great fodder against me. Yeah, I gotcha.
I love that too. Plus, you know, spiritual and philosophical are both really cool. And like I got made fun of a lot for saying in the Christmas special, Gandhi also has a great color. It's very pretty, you know, and the fast workers are awesome. So Gandhi rocks.
If I'm a warmonger, I go with aggressive or especially charismatic. You get extra XP.
Yeah, I was wondering why you rank charismatic so high if you don't go to war, Dan. Just for the happiness?
Yes.
Yeah, it is pretty useful for that as well, I have to say.
Yeah, it's true. Especially on the higher levels.
Expensive, I would rate much lower than Dan, because you usually have plenty of health anyway. But happiness is pretty hard to come by, especially in the early game, and as you say, on higher difficulty levels. So charismatic is, yeah, pretty good trait, regardless of whether you're a builder or a warmonger.
Yeah, I had it at number 5.
Well, you had to think about it. If you're a builder, you sometimes have a lot less resources because you're not out conquering territory with resources. So you can have less health.
That's true, but...
You know, like in culture games, I end up where health is not an issue at all because, you know, my cities are happy. They have a zillion temples. And if I'm turning culture rate up, sometimes I like to do culture games without the culture slider at all because I'm a weirdo. Mm. But with all the temples that I have, people are happy anyway. But health is this huge limiting factor. And I want to have big cities so that I can have a lot of artists running to get great artists, you know.
That's true, but that's...
Health will hold me back.
That's very true, that's very...
It's situational.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's situational, but depending on what kind of builder you are...
If you're not going for culture, then usually happiness is the limit. But yeah, if you're going for culture and you have lots of religions, then it's the other way around, I agree there.
But depending on what kind of builder you are, you won't get a whole lot of resources like you will if you're out taking other people's land and resources, so...
Well, if I'm a builder, I'm still pretty aggressive in the early game to grab as much territory as possible, and I'll consolidate after that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you might get lucky that way as far as the resources go.
Well, I always have to do that because I know I can't go to war to take over land later, so I better get it now while it's still on own terror.
Yeah, so it depends, I guess.
And I, like, almost never play random leader.
Well, I guess it depends on what you like, but I like variation, as much variation as possible. Kind of wish there was a random map type option, so I'd play with that too.
A lot of times I'll sit here and say, okay, I feel like trying X type of game today. And it won't work out that way all the time, but, you know, I'm in the mood for a culture game, or I'm in the mood for whatever game, so I'll pick a leader based on that. Because, you know, I'm a girl. I have moods. I mean, I guess it's a girl thing, I don't know.
And if you want random maps there, why don't you just close your eyes and click, click, and...
Well, you know, I'll have my hubby pick something sometimes. They're like, well, I can't decide between X and Y, so...
So he says X and you say no.
Well, actually, sometimes if I don't know what I want... Okay, even if he's not here, like, I'll be eating M&M's and I'll say, okay, if the next M&M is green, then I'll go X. And then if I pull it out and it's green and I'm disappointed, then I know I really wanted Y. But I don't know until something else chooses for me. I know, I'm really bizarre.
M&M's, if you would like to sponsor the show.
Okay, we could do Skittles, but, you know...
Skittles?
I need to have this decision made for me, or else I don't know until I'm disappointed. I like this one new leader. His name is, I forget... William von Fruitcake, and he's from like, Dutchtopia or something.
William von Engen?
Netherlandville. He's like really cool. He's creative and financial, and his UU is awesome.
Guess who my favorite leader is?
Well, he's not really my favorite, but he's got really excellent UB. But I forget, you know, I don't know history, so I forget exactly where he's from. But he's really awesome. Because his UU, you keep some and you don't upgrade them because they can go into rival territory. So you don't upgrade them to transport because they can hold as many units as a transport. They just move one square slower.
Yep.
And then you go and you sneak attack Monty. You declare war while you're already in his waters. I don't know if Waters heard of him. But actually, I have heard of him.
You're keeping us wondering whether you're being serious here or you're trying to make fun of me. I'm still not sure.
No, I'm teasing.
Five favorite leaders. Number five to number one. Mao Zedong of China, expansive and protective. Number four, Gilgamesh, Sumeria, creative and protective. Korea, Wang Kong, financial and protective. Khmer, Sverre Jarman, creative and expansive. And as I mentioned, number one, Dutch, William van Oranje, creative and financial.
Hmm, pity, that's actually a half-decent list.
You can't see my eyes roll over podcast, can you?
No, this is not a visual medium, I'm afraid. No, we're not doing a vidcast, so...
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be here if you were.
Yeah, none of us would be.
Yeah, well, I like your top leader.
Yay!
And that's about all I was going to say. Who is number two?
Sverre Jarman of the Khmer.
I just wanted to hear you say it again. I have no idea whether that's right, mind you. I like to call Gilgamesh Giggles, just because that way somebody else is called Giggles instead of me.
I'm surprised Mansa Musa isn't on there. That's a very strong leader as well.
Well, he's spiritual, though, and Dan doesn't like spiritual.
If you don't like spiritual, yeah, exactly.
I like Mansa.
Wanya Kepek is also a very strong one, although I guess A, industrious, and B, you're not a rusher, because it's great for rushing.
Yeah. I like Beamansa, but I don't like playing him because I love having him in my games to trade with him. And I can't stand being Alex or Pericles because I love having Alex as a neighbor. He is the best attack puppy to go protect me when I don't feel like being in a war. It's like, oh, honey, would you go take care of this for me? Oh, sure. He's the best. So I hate being him or Pericles because then Alex won't show up, which is just really sad.
So what's your top five of worst leaders, then?
These might be more controversial, just because it's different play styles and whatnot. But anyway, number five, Ottoman, Suleiman, imperialistic and philosophical. Ramses II of Egypt, industrious and spiritual. Montezuma, mentioned him passing before. The Aztec, aggressive and spiritual. Genghis Khan of the Mongols, aggressive and imperialistic. And number one, so to speak, Justinian I, Byzantines, imperialistic and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that's purely based on traits then, because there's some pretty decent leaders in there.
Yep, they are. Because that's what we're talking about, see?
Yeah.
Well, I'd consider the unique unit, unique building, starting text as well, but, well, I guess that's hard to argue with that. I'm not sure that there's many leaders that I really dislike.
Oh, there's tons I dislike, but you mean playing myself?
Playing with them, that's kind of, yeah.
You know, that fruitcake joke would have been great during the Christmas special. But... So, related topic, criticize these alternate traits, which you don't have to put that in the subject line because that's just going to happen anyway. Munch posted alternate traits for all Civ 4's 11, targeting specific changes to creative, expansive, financial, imperialistic, industrious, protective, and spiritual. Ugh. And those changes to others in turn to compensate, so to speak. But then, after some suggestions and criticisms, he posted a second version, explaining both his premise about why he was going to change what traits he did, and then posting his alternate traits.
I remember that one, and I kind of laid into it, into version one. Because I was like, well, this is kind of ridiculous, and that's kind of ridiculous. First of all, I was like, you're taking away my no anarchy from spiritual and giving it to someone else? You are ridiculous. And I mean, he thought that spiritual should, you know, stick with religion and not really change religions on a whim. And I can see where philosophically you would come up with that, but still, don't touch my baby. No. But anyway, for one of them, I forget, aggressive, maybe he was going to give everybody morale, the great general promotion that gives you one extra movement. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll take that. Don't give me any starting techs. Don't give me any special buildings. Don't give me another trait. Just give me that special ability, and I'll actually go to war. Give me that on every melee gunpowder and mounted unit, which is what he was proposing, and even I will go to war, because that sounds wicked overpowered to me.
Yeah, that was the aggressive one.
But then he changed a lot of them.
That one just seems to be an advantage for warmongers, mostly.
Yeah, but it would turn even me into a warmonger, dude.
Which makes me think it might not be entirely balanced.
Right, I know. It's like, okay, if it's going to make me want to go to war, then that might be overpowered. But he changed them a lot. And then I kind of stopped following it because I got busy, so I don't know what. But it was interesting to see, you know, and I mean, I'm not criticizing the guy because, as I mentioned, I think in that thread, maybe it was another one, I don't post new ideas on the forums myself. I just talk about other people's ideas. So I'm glad they come up with things for me to
make fun of.
No, I don't make fun of them except for, you know, on this show and certain people's top 11 list. But on the forums, I don't make fun of them. I just, you know, say, well, this is what I think about that, and that's what I think about that. But if they didn't start the ball rolling, nobody would really think about it.
Yeah, that's very true. I have to say, this second version, scrolling over it, and that first version was strongly unbalanced. This seems a lot better, although some traits are still a lot better than others. Financial is very, very strong. If I look at charismatic, then it's pretty much the same as what it already is. I'd have to study it a bit more closely than we have time for right here, but it seems it still needs a fair bit of work, but it's a lot better than the first version already.
I hadn't looked at the first version, but it's good to hear that it's better than this one. This one, as I said, isn't bad, but there are definitely some specific traits that need some assistance. Just two that I point out. For me, with this charismatic double speed on National Wonders, I would substitute that for another building and not just National Wonders. Really, in Industrious, double speed production on the workboat? What? I know that could be advantageous at the start if you've got some fish and whatnot. Do we really need double speed?
Oh, that can be very, very advantageous.
Yeah, but do we really need double speed on a workboat?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's often the first thing if you want to build, if you start on a naval map or a map with a lot of water resources.
I guess it's to go with worker, but yeah, it seems kind of overpowered.
And the levy, that comes pretty late. I'm not really sure that's...
Yeah, you know, I'm sort of, it's hard to judge how strong that trait is, because, yeah, sort of those things. The workboat can be very valuable, but of course, if you have no starting resources in water, then it doesn't help you at all, really. Cheaper workers is sort of a nice benefit, and most of the other ones come pretty late in the game. So it's hard to judge how strong that is. You'd have to test that. But on the other hand, if you look at creative, that's basically the old creative trait plus the old industrious trait. That's awfully powerful compared to charismatic, which is basically the old industrial, indeed. And financial is also even more powerful than it already is. So it's kind of...
Yeah. Well, financial is weird. It's much more powerful later on, but it's not nearly as powerful in the beginning.
It's more powerful later on, that is true, but it's pretty useful in the beginning as well, because gold is fairly hard to come by early on.
And at the start right now, you know, financial, if you get a river cottage right at the start, it's a big boost. But for this, it wouldn't give you thing. But, you know, mid and end game, it'll give you crap tons. Can I say that? It'll give you a lot.
Yeah, that's true. But what's clear to me is that this sort of thing needs a lot of testing. I mean, we're still not done with the traits for the normal game. Every patch, there's still a couple of tweaks in the civic settings. It took years to get where we are now. And if you're going to completely revamp the whole setup, you're going to need years and years of playtesting by dozens, if not hundreds, of people to get to something that's truly balanced.
Well, and what's really cool is the game is set up so that if I like the concept of this, but I don't like one particular thing, then I can change it myself for my own games.
Yep, that's absolutely true. You don't necessarily need every aspect to be completely balanced, especially if it's for your own games.
Greetings from the mailbag, where we address listener questions and comments.
Did we get any feedback?
Did we not get any feedback? Because I don't like the question.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That was so fun to read. I don't know how you guys put up with that every 2 weeks, though. That's wild.
Well, we did.
You'll have to hold my hand. If people don't say anything, that'll be weird. If people totally ignore an episode, I'll be like, wait, didn't they listen to that one?
Well, it's always been my position that most of the time people don't give feedback unless they have something to criticize, except in Polycast's case, most of the times if people do say something, it is positive. So there's just even more of it for the Christmas special. I have no theories as to why.
You don't?
No, not at all.
Not only were the comments completely out there in terms of the number, but the traffic as well. By our sort of more conservative estimates, it was downloaded in the first week around 630 times. And since then, it's been downloaded another 200 times. We're recording this on January 5th. So it's in the first 12 days, almost 750 downloads. In terms of the first month, the second most popular episode after that got around 250 downloads. So it's like three times more than the second most popular show we've done.
So people were really bored over Christmas.
Yeah, people were all over this.
Wow.
A triple or normal audience. And if you look at sort of the total download numbers, so all the months combined for episode one, that's 16 months of combined downloads. This is already the third most popular episode we've ever done. Only episodes one and two were more popular. And those were, well, at this point, 16 months old. So by the time this goes public, it might even be the most popular episode we've ever done. Because it's still getting like a couple of dozen downloads a day. It's going really fast.
Well, that's cool.
Yay, word of mouth.
We all had fun doing it.
So yeah, Dan, I think we might be out of a job here.
Yep. We need to do all the extra effort with a separate show even when you got these kind of numbers, goodness sakes.
It's pretty amazing numbers.
And then I got to move in.
We can only hope that we'll sort of blend over to the main show. Now we're stealing some of the cast members.
Yeah.
People apparently like girls.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
We stick out, I guess. They just can't get enough discussion about cute pigs and silly city names.
I have to say, it was probably the best show we did, and I wasn't there, so that's saying something.
Well, we had a blast.
Yay.
Yeah, congratulations to Kelly and all the other girls that aren't here to accept the congratulations.
I sent them some of the PMs I got. Besides, you know, the threads, I got some PMs from people that I know saying that was totally fun. You know, that was really cool. You guys did a great job. So I sent that to them, too. They all wrote back, thank you for sending that. And I totally had fun. So I know they did. And I wasn't allowed to tell them that I was moving in. So now I can tell them.
Yep.
Yep. Now you can tell them. And you can send the actual numbers along as well. Download numbers.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLLY.
In Europe, 441-212-887-659. That's 441-212-888-POLLY.
You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at polycast@apolton.net.
For more information on Polycast, our sibling show Modcast, or about Polycast in general,
log into the series official website at polycast.apolton.net.
I'm absolutely the worst at knowing who's really a guy and who's really a girl. Notorious for not knowing. You guys are really guys, right? Your voices sound like it.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not so sure about Ben, but...
Oh. And then the way he gets so excited when you talk about girls playing Civ. Like,
yeah, kind of gives it away.
And now you have, what, half of the girls playing Civ in the world on the show? So
no. It's actually a pretty female-friendly game. I know a lot of female gamers that play Civ.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them aren't crazy enough to post on the message boards.
I think a lot of people lose track of that when they're posting. I mean, we talk about, you know, well, most people this and most people play that level, da-da-da. And there's so many people that never even bother to get on the internet about it. They probably play Warlord level or whatever.
Exactly. That's by far most people.
If you want to compare yourself to only people that play on the boards, then that's fine. But the majority of people in the world is not the same as the majority of people on any one particular forum or all the forums put together.
Exactly. I mean, on average, at least for Civ, for every person that posts on the forums, there are probably about 1,000 people that don't post there. So
wow. It
gives you an idea of how small these forums really are when you think about it.
Okay, Oliton? How do you say it?
Yeah, no one knows how to pronounce that, so... Apolliton.
To me, it's Polycast, so it's yeah. Apolliton. It's Apolliton. I mean, I've always said it Apolliton, but that's not how you say it. You get poll in there. You say Apolliton. But I don't say Polycast, yeah. So I say Polycast and Apolliton. So I've got to work on that.
Yeah, we say Polycast as well, but...
Yeah, so I've got to work on Polliton, but Polycast. Maybe by the time Civ 5 comes out. But in the meantime, I just say Polly, because, you know.
That's fine. We all do that.
Yep.
That way I don't say it wrong.
Thank you for listening to the first episode of the second season of Polycast, episode 35, the official podcast of a Apolton Civilization site. I've not been joined by Mackie and Imran for some reason, which we will find out later. I've been joined instead by my new fellow regular co-host, K-Mad Candy.
But I'm a girl.
Not that kind of fellow.
I'm not a fellow.
Okay. By my lady friend.
But I'm married.
By the girl, K-Mad.
By the brat.
The other girl.
By the other girl. This is your point to say bye, Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bye.
And by our guest co-host, as strange as that does sound, Wouter Schneider, known as Locutus.
I want to stay. Can't we kick off Imran instead?
But your fan club should not worry, because okay. You will still be on what show?
Yep, I will still be around, and people like Imran drop out all the time, so maybe I'll be back as a guest appearance here and there.
You never know.
We'll see. But bye!
Bye!
Bye! Well, I'm really disoriented. Should I be the only one?
I have a feeling that's quite a normal feeling for you, so...
thank you, I think.
Did I just make my first enemy on the show?
No.
Hence the new show. And the other guys will be at sea. Kenneth.
If this was a webcast, I would be getting funny looks. You guys are looking at me funny, aren't you?
Not more than we usually do.
Record date January 5th, 2008. Sound clips copyright Civilization IV, The Warlords, and the Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Bolton Civilization site at bolton.net.